Bit later, but we're going to continue in our sermon series this morning, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 3. So if you want to turn to that in your Bibles, that would be great. It will come up on the screen as well. You might remember since January we've been doing this series looking at the life of Jesus. We went through his life together, we got to his death and resurrection at Easter, and we've since been looking through the book of Acts to see what happened afterwards, to see what his disciples started to do. And we see the disciples, Jesus' followers, his best friends, doing the stuff that he did. And where before we saw Jesus going around teaching people and doing wonderful things and changing people's lives, well, now it's the church, now it's the disciples, the people who followed Jesus, who've been filled with the Spirit. We remembered that a couple of two or three weeks ago at Pentecost. We've still got our Pentecost display here to remind us of the disciples getting the fire of God on their heads and the wind of the Spirit kind of blowing them out into the world. And you might remember what Jesus says to his disciples before his ascension. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." And that's what the disciples do. They receive something of the power of God and they go out into the world and their actions and their words witness to who Jesus is. They say, "This is who Jesus is. This is the kind of person he is. Why don't you come and follow him?" So that's what we're going to see in this passage this morning. Excuse me. We're going to read the whole of Acts chapter 3 together. It will be on the screen, but I would encourage you, if you've got a Bible or a phone, to follow on as well. So Acts chapter 3, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gates called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as that same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people.' Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. And when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. We skipped out almost the whole of Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, so I thought that one was a bit shorter and we could just about cope with reading the whole of that one. So I'm not really going to apologize for reading big chunks of the Bible. We're going to look at three aspects of Peter's character together this morning as we just think through this passage and this story together. We're going to think about compassionate Peter. We're going to think about preachy Peter. And we're going to think about normal Christian Peter. And I'll explain what I mean by that when we get there. So compassionate Peter, preachy Peter, and normal Christian Peter. And I've got a different accessory that I'm going to wear for each section of this. So I'm going to start by putting this on. This is my Liverpool Football Club Udi, which is very warm and cozy. You may know that 2 years ago, Liz and I moved here from the south of England. Have you ever been down there? It's actually warm. It's actually much nicer up here, but we do, in our house, need Udis like this to keep us warm, especially soft southerners like us. Other football clubs and brands are available. But this keeps me warm, and I thought this was a good representation of compassionate Peter. This is when Peter, his character is cuddly and warm and caring and kind, okay? So think of Peter being cuddly, warm and caring and compassionate while I'm wearing this Udi. Compassionate Peter runs into this guy on his way to pray in the temple, presumably, runs into this guy who can't walk. And like most of us, if you met someone begging who can't walk, he has compassion on this person. What a horrible situation to find yourself in. This guy can't come into the temple to pray because he can't walk. He probably can't work, so he's begging for money because he needs money to get by, to live off. And thankfully, he has kind friends who carry him and put him here so that all the faithful Jews going in to worship and pray have to walk past him and maybe feel guilty and give him some money. So Peter walks past this guy, and Peter has compassion for this guy. The guy's asking for money, and Peter says, John's there as well, by the way, but Peter's kind of the main character who seems to be acting and speaking on behalf of them both. Peter says to this guy, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you." And Peter recognizes that what this guy is asking for is silver and gold. He's asking for what he thinks he needs, his most immediate pressing need. I need money because I need to live, I need to eat, and I can't work because I can't walk. That's my most immediate need. But Peter says to him, "I haven't got silver or gold for you, but I have got something better." And it reminds me of some of the stuff Jesus used to say about money. I don't think this guy is particularly being greedy or selfish. I think he's probably just wanting some money to get by. But Jesus knows that money and stuff is not good for us spiritually. It's not deeply what we really need in our lives. And so Peter's kind of saying that to this guy. Well, the thing you think you need and the thing you most obviously need right now is some money to get by, but I've got something even better and more wonderful for you. You know that I love shoving things off of tables just to like dramatically show. That's not really what he needs. He needs something deeper and more wonderful. And what we really need is Jesus. What we really need is an encounter with Jesus, a meeting with Jesus. What this guy really needed was to be healed from not being able to walk. And it was the power of Jesus and through faith in Jesus that this was possible. And I think sometimes, if there's a message for you and me in here, sometimes we're afraid to bring the deepest parts of ourselves to Jesus. If someone asks you at the end of your like community or your small group, "Oh, what can I pray for you?" Or you might say, "Oh, I pray that I'll have a good week at work." And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes there's deeper things going on in our lives, and maybe we think those things are too big for Jesus, or too deep, or too personal for us to bring to Jesus. We don't feel like we can share them with him. And maybe if there's a message in this story, it's Jesus knows the deepest parts of who you are, and he wants to meet the deepest needs and the most pressing needs at the center of who you are, not just the surface level issues. It made me think a lot about some of the people I meet at Food Bank. Most of you will probably know that we sort of launched this big food bank, and it's been running for years, and I help out a little bit on Tuesdays and Fridays. We meet lots of people, and their most pressing need, not dissimilar to the guy in this story, is for food. They come to us because they're hungry, they don't have enough money, usually for a variety of complex reasons, to buy food, and so they come to us to get some food. But we know that they have deeper needs, just like Peter and John knew that this guy had deeper needs. And so we say to them, well, can we support you with anything else? Can we support you to get access to the right benefits? Can we help you back into work? Is there a physical or mental health issue that's meaning you're finding it difficult to work? Can we support you with that? And so we try and ask these deeper questions. And then ultimately, there's a deeper question under that as well, which is your deepest need as a human is to know and love Jesus. For you to flourish as a human, the best way for you to do that is not just to have a job and to be able to work and to earn money, but it's to have an encounter with Jesus. And so sometimes we pray for people and we invite them to church, and sometimes we see people respond to that and we see their deepest needs met in Jesus. And that's my big dream for our food bank ministry, is that we see more and more of that. We see more and more of people's absolute deepest needs being met. It's not to say, by the way, that giving practical help is unimportant. Of course, that's so important. And we'll see if you read on into Acts chapter 6, when there are these seven people, deacons, appointed specifically to give out food to widows. You'll see that that's a really important part of the early church's ministry. But it can't be the only thing. We can't just give people practical help and not invite them to meet with Jesus and encounter him. We can't just help them with human physical things without also offering them the spiritual riches and goodness that we have in Jesus. So that's compassionate Peter. I'm going to take this off because I'm going to get too warm, and I'm going to put on something for preachy Peter. There we go. Now I look like a proper vicar. Relatively rare occurrence, certainly for you guys on a Sunday morning. This is my dog collar, my clerical collar, which some Church of England vicars like to wear. I do actually wear it when I go to Food Bank so that people know that I'm there from the church. And they ask me funny questions like, are you a priest or are you a father? And things like that. And I just say yes and get on with the conversation. You don't have to call me Father Zach. You can just call me Zach, please. But if you really want to, then you can. This is representing preachy Peter. Peter has his compassionate moment where he cares about this guy's deepest needs and problems, introduces him to the power of Jesus. It heals him through the power of Jesus. And then he starts explaining it, and he does a little talk. And this is kind of a pattern that we see throughout Acts. If you remember at Pentecost, something crazy happened. The power of the Holy Spirit came, met with people. They were all speaking in other languages, etc. And Peter gets up and does a speech and explains what happens. He starts with the stuff that's happening in real life, and he explains it and brings it back to Jesus and tells everyone what's going on. We saw that at Pentecost. We see this here in Acts chapter 3. In the next chapter, they get thrown in prison. And then Peter gets up and explains why that's happened as well. So it's a bit of a pattern, which I think is helpful for us to see through the book of Acts. And the way Peter starts by preaching and explaining what's going on is by addressing any misunderstandings. The one in this passage is, I think it's quite funny. In Acts chapter 2, it's quite funny as well. Remember, it says that they're drunk. Everyone's like, oh, these guys are just drunk. They're speaking in funny languages. They've clearly had too much wine. And Peter says, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And then in this one, he says to them, like, why do you stare at us as if we healed this guy by our own power or godliness? It was God that healed him. It's Jesus that healed him. I love that. I love the humility of that. He's like, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. There's at least one occasion later in Acts. I think it's when Peter goes to Cornelius' house where he tries to bow down to him. And he's just like, get up. What are you doing? Like, this is not about me. It's all about Jesus. I love that about Peter. So he starts by explaining what's going on, addressing any misunderstandings, and bringing the whole thing back to Jesus. This guy getting healed, it's all about Jesus. It's because Jesus died and he came back to life and he gave power to his disciples through the Holy Spirit. And he's explaining what's going on. And I think that's an important thing for us to sometimes do as Christians. When stuff happens in your life, to what extent do you explain it, including God in that? If someone says to you, why'd you go to church? There might be all kinds of different answers. I might answer, well, because my family have always gone to church, or because it's what I do, or it's where my friends are. How often do we say to someone, yeah, I go to church because I meet with God, and God's real, and he's powerful, and he's alive, and he makes a real difference to my life? How often do we answer the question like that? Sometimes people will say to me, oh, Zach, why did you move to Sheffield? It was 2 years this week since we moved to Sheffield, and it's great. Sometimes people ask me, yeah, why did you move to Sheffield? And I can answer it in all kinds of different ways. It was in some ways a kind of complicated process of talking to people and praying and human connections and God speaking to us. And I can tell that story in two ways. I can tell it in a very human-centered way and say, oh, yeah, well, we got put in touch with Sheffield Diocese, and then they put us in touch with Philly, and then I had a Zoom call with Mike, and then we came to visit the church. And, you know, I can tell it that way. Or I can just stand up and say, well, actually, we were really praying about where God was calling us to be as a family and where God was calling me to come and minister. And I really felt God speak to me through the Bible and say that he was calling us to this church. I can tell it in two ways. And I think there's a challenge to us when we talk about what's going on in our life. Which way do we tell those stories of stuff that's going on? Are we clear, like Peter, about explaining this is all because of Jesus? Everything I am as a Christian in my life is because of Jesus. Or do we sometimes play down the role of Jesus in our lives? I once heard this guy when I was at university called Roger Carswell. Anyone heard him speak? He's like an evangelist, like university ministries kind of guy. He used to say, he was really funny, but he would always say he'd find the most ridiculous excuses to start talking about church or Jesus. So if he was having a cup of tea with someone, he'd say, oh, that's a nice cup of tea. Oh, I had a nice cup of tea the other day. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I was at church. Or things like that. I'm going for a walk today. I went for a walk the other day. Where did I walk to? Oh, yeah, I walked to church. Do you ever go to church? I'm not necessarily saying we need to be quite that extreme or ridiculous, but just be open to the idea that sometimes we can talk about what Jesus is doing in our lives and be real about it. You might remember quite a famous verse that Peter writes in one of his letters when he writes a couple of letters later on towards the end of his life to groups of churches. And he says this quite famous verse, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the hope that you have in Jesus. So that's a good instruction for us, like Peter in this moment, when something dramatic happened in this person's life. Be ready in your life to talk about the hope that you have in Jesus. And the other thing that I noticed about Peter's sermon here is it's quite direct. It's almost rude. You guys made Jesus get crucified. You guys did this. Your sin and the way you acted together has had serious consequences. He's quite direct. It's almost confrontational a little bit. And that's quite a challenge. I would be a bit scared to preach like that. I would be worried about being rude or disrespectful or offending people. But I think sometimes there's something to be said about being direct to people. You really need Jesus. You need Jesus in your life. You need to be saved. You are a sinner, just like me, but you are a sinner who needs Jesus to come and save you and change your life. There's something about the directness that I think is a challenge to us when we're in a culture where, as Christians, we don't want to offend people. We don't want to put people off. We're scared of people running away. We're scared of saying turn or burn or something ridiculous like that we probably never say. So we don't say anything. We never say anything about sin, or we never say anything directly challenging to people. And I think maybe this sermon is an example of how we can be direct to people in the way we talk about our faith without being rude or disrespectful. You might remember that verse in Peter's letter, always be ready to give an answer, finishes by saying, but do this with gentleness and respect. And I think we can gently and respectfully say to people, you really need Jesus in your life. So that's preachy Peter. I'm going to take this off as well, I'm afraid. I know there were calls for me to wear robes the other week when I briefly suggested that that could be an option, but you've had a dog collar today for half a sermon. This is Peter, normal Christian guy. Normal Christian guys wear a cap, I think. Is there anyone here wearing a cap this morning? I don't think there is. Well, there's one or two who've got a cap, but you've taken them off inside. That's very respectful in the house of the Lord. I am going to wear a cap for the next bit of my sermon. Sometimes we think of Peter as being this kind of super Christian, right? He's like Saint Peter. There's drawings of him in all kinds of like ancient churches. People talk about him as like the first pope. And don't get me wrong, he's obviously a very significant and important leader in the church. But I want us, just as I kind of finish, to think about him as just a normal Christian guy. He's a normal guy who met Jesus. He was called to follow Jesus. He lived his life with Jesus. And the stuff that we see throughout Acts is just a natural response. If you're someone who meets Jesus and follows Jesus and knows Jesus, the stuff that Peter does is the kind of stuff that your life and my life should look like. Peter, the normal Christian guy. You might remember Peter's calling. He's with his brother and they're by the boat and Jesus comes and says, follow me. Maybe you've had a moment. That's a normal Christian experience when you sense Jesus calling you to follow him. And at some point, if you're here today and you're a Christian, you've probably said yes. You've said, actually, yeah, I think I do want to follow you, Jesus. Normal Christians receive a call in some sense from Jesus and they follow that call. They say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And normal Christians walk with Jesus. They spend time with him, just like Peter did. For Peter, that was in person, walking with Jesus, being by his side, eating with him, seeing the way he interacted with people, seeing miracles and the resurrection firsthand, hearing Jesus' life-changing, incredible teaching. And for you and me, we can walk with Jesus too. We don't have Jesus here in person, but we have the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. We have God's word. We have these stories, these witnesses to Jesus that the disciples wrote down and gave to us. So we too can walk with Jesus through the Holy Spirit being in us and through reading about Jesus in the word. These not just old stories, but this is God speaking to us. Jesus is still alive and we can still walk with him. So normal Christians get called by Jesus. Normal Christians walk with Jesus. Normal Christians get it wrong. The Gospels are full of times when Peter got it wrong. We looked a few weeks ago about Peter's restoration when Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? Paralleling with the three times that Peter denies him. Normal Christians get it wrong. You probably know that if you've been a Christian for more than a few minutes. We get it wrong. We mess up. We deny Jesus. We live in a way that makes it look like we don't know him and love him and we aren't following. That's something that normal Christians do. And normal Christians get restored. Normal Christians can still be used by God even after we mess up, even after we push Jesus away, even after we sin. Normal Christians get a second chance. Normal Christians, like Peter, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Normal Christians, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we get blown by the wind of the Spirit out into the world to share Jesus with those around us. Normal Christians, like Peter, pray for people to be healed. Normal Christians, like Peter, look for ways to bring God's justice and restoration to the world. Normal people, like Peter, stand up and explain how God's been at work in their life. You might not be called to preach in front of hundreds or thousands of people, but you're called to explain to those around you why you live your life for Jesus, why you come for church, what difference Jesus has made in your life. That's something normal Christians do. And finally, like Peter, normal Christians shouldn't be afraid sometimes to get to the point. We might be afraid, but we should push through the afraidness to be direct about the people we love and the need that they have for Jesus. Peter's a normal Christian. He, with his flaws, follows Jesus, and Jesus uses him to do amazing things in the people he meets, and he wants to do that through you as well. Whether you feel like a super Christian or a rubbish Christian or somewhere in between, Jesus wants to work through you. He wants to use you for his kingdom and his glory, just like he did with Peter. So, as I finish, we've had these three versions of Peter, if you like. We've had compassionate Peter, warm, cuddly, cares for people's deepest needs, introduces them to Jesus. We've had preachy Peter, who is not afraid to stand up and explain how God's been at work in his life. Not afraid to be direct with people about their need for Jesus. And we've had normal Christian guy, Peter, who, I'll hang that on there for the rest of the service to remind you. Normal Christian guy, Peter, who tries to follow Jesus and shows us what a normal Christian life might look like. And as we finish, there might be different ways that you want to respond and pray. You may feel like you're lacking in this kind of compassionate Peter thing. You may want to pray, God, would you make me more compassionate? Would you help me to really care about the people around me? Show me how to meet people's deepest needs, including their need for you. You may want to pray that God would give you more boldness to preach and to speak to people around you. The word preach is maybe a bit of a big, scary-sounding word, just to talk about what you believe. That may be something you want to pray for. But I want to suggest, perhaps, that there's a simpler way to pray. Those are really good prayers, and that may be a really appropriate prayer for you in this season. But maybe the simpler prayer is just to say, Jesus, help me to walk with you. Help me to be filled with your Spirit. And as I'm filled with your Spirit, maybe I'll start to inhabit some of these qualities. Maybe as I spend time with you, as I walk with you, I will find myself being more compassionate, and I'll find myself more able to speak about the way you're working in my life. That, I think, is my prayer. It's a simple prayer. And I think, do you remember the Mentos and Coke thing I did a few weeks ago? Some of you were here on Pentecost. I talked about, we put the Mentos in the Coke and it exploded everywhere and nearly ruined Mike's guitar, and it was great. Apart from that, sorry, Mike. Do you remember how I said that the Holy Spirit filled the church and then they just naturally exploded out into the world? It wasn't necessarily a strategy or a plan, although sometimes there were strategies and plans. It's a bit like that with Peter in this story. I don't think he particularly was walking along and thought, I'm going to try and be super compassionate today. Oh, yes, and now I'm going to try and be super preachy. I'm going to remember to be direct with my preaching. I think it's just a natural response. He's seen Jesus. He's walked with Jesus. He's been filled with the Spirit. And these aspects of his character just naturally flow out of that relationship. And so there might be times when we need to work on the person that we are. But if there's a simpler prayer for us to pray in response to this story, it's to say, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to walk with you faithfully. And may my heart and my life overflow with who you are to the people around me. So in a moment, we will pray, we'll sing again, and there'll be a chance just to have some space to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you again. But before I finish, I just briefly want to, like Peter, be direct with anyone who's here today who's not a Christian. If you've come to our church today, you're so welcome. If you believe different things to me and us, that's okay. We love you. We want you to be part of this and to feel welcome here and included. And if you're not ready to choose to follow Jesus yet today, that's fine. But I briefly want to be direct with you and say, that's what you need. That's your deepest need in this life, is to know Jesus and to love him and to live your life with him. He will meet your needs for community, for family, for identity, all the deepest parts of who you are. Jesus wants to meet you and change your life. And one of the reasons that you need Jesus and I need Jesus is because of our sin, the times that we get stuff wrong and push Jesus away and live in a way that we shouldn't live. And we need Jesus to forgive us. He died on the cross to take away your sin so you don't have to pay for it anymore. And he rose from the dead to show that he has power over sin and death. He offers eternal life, everlasting life to everyone who believes in him. That can be you. You can be someone who lives forever with Jesus, who knows the power of his saving love. And I would love for you to know that today. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I'd love to talk to you after the service. Come and grab me. Come and say, maybe you've still got questions, but maybe you're ready to say, actually, I want to follow Jesus today. So I just wanted to offer that opportunity, because Jesus loves to change people's lives, and he loves to meet with people, like with this guy in this story. He wants you to have an encounter with him, and he knows your deepest, deepest needs, and he wants to be the one who meets them. Can I invite Samuel and Katie and Highland to come back up? And we're going to sing together in a minute. There'll just be some space just to invite the Holy Spirit to fill you. You might want to just respond by saying, Jesus, help me to walk with you. May my life overflow with your compassion. May my life overflow with words that speak of who you are. And you may also this morning be someone who needs some physical healing. We've read a story about how the power of Jesus and the name of Jesus can heal people physically. So we'd love to pray for you if that's you. It'd be great if some of the prayer ministry team could be available over here. If you need physical healing this morning, come and ask Jesus to heal you. It won't be those guys over there who heal you. It will be Jesus who heals you. But they are normal Christians like Peter. They are filled with the Spirit and they can pray for you. And Jesus can heal you. Jesus can do all kinds of things. And if you want a fresh filling of the Spirit, you can pray for that on your own with Jesus. If you'd like someone to stand with you in prayer, that your life would overflow with his compassion and his goodness, that if you'd like someone to pray with you, then please come and ask someone to pray with you. Can I invite you to stand? I'll just quickly pray for us and then we'll sing. And if you want to go and get prayer, then you can. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are alive. Thank you that you're still at work through your church and your people, just like you were through Peter and John and the first ever Christians. Lord, it's 2,000 years later and you still work through us. You still fill us with your Spirit. You still send us out into the world to share who you are. You still heal people. You still save people. You still transform people's lives. And we thank you that we get to know that, that we've tasted and experienced that. And we long for more of that, Jesus. I pray for each person here that you'd fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we'd know your power and your presence at work in us, that we'd know you sending us out into the world, that our lives would overflow with your compassion for the people around us, that you give us boldness to speak words of truth in love to people, to show them who you are, to say, yes, my life is all about Jesus. My life is all because of Jesus, and your life can be too. Holy Spirit, would you come and meet with us? Would you fill us afresh this morning?